645 1320 WILS. Let's take a break from this story. We'll be back to it. But this fascinating study out of the University of Michigan looking at all these new technologies, this Apple Siri, Alexa, these technologies that in which we interact with them. And looks like our guest is not on the line. Hopefully he will be. James Morey will be with us. He's an assistant professor of marketing at DePaul University, and he actually was a student, a doctoral student at the University of Michigan when he did the study. And what they were looking at is whether or not we actually get our social needs fulfilled through the machines, through things like Alexa and Siri. And is that where we're heading? Could we get to a point where we won't even really need to deal with people? We'll just be fully connected through these machines like Alexa and Siri. James, great to have you on 1320 WILS.
Hey, great to be here. I just got disconnected, but yeah, I'm back in.
That happens. We're in a learning curve here. Tell me this, James. First of all, what did you find in your study? How fulfilled are people feeling when they start interacting with these machines socially?
Sure. So it turns out that everyone has sort of this innate need to connect with others. And Abraham Maslow found that in his hierarchy, of course, we have this need to connect with others. And what we found was that basically, for 40 years, we know that when people feel socially isolated, they seek to reconnect. They're more likely to give to charity. They're more likely to say they're going to spend time talking to family and friends. And what we found is that's true, except when you engage with some sort of anthropomorphic product or service. So, for example, using Siri or talking to Alexa, any of these sorts of interactions with very humanized products or consumer services actually can make those effects go away.
Are we heading to a point where we're going to be less interested in people as these products get more complicated and sophisticated?
It sounds pretty dystopian, right? So the good news is that products don't perfectly replace people. What we find in our research is we measure this need for social assurance. And that need for social assurance is typically fulfilled by interpersonal interactions that we have with other real people. And what we find is that interacting with these sort of anthropomorphized devices can fulfill that social need. But what we did also show is that there's a limit to this, that as soon as we remind people that their phone isn't actually alive or that the Roomba vacuum that's cleaning the floor isn't actually a living creature, the effect goes away. So that's part of it. And another part of it is one of our co-authors, Carolyn Yoon at the University of Michigan, she has research that shows that when we think about brand personalities versus human personalities, even though we often in marketing use these terms interchangeably, describing brands as having personalities, it's actually two different areas of the brain. So when we scan the brain in an MRI, we see that when you engage brand personalities versus human personalities, it's actually not the same, it's not treated the same way in the brain's physiology. So the good news is, even though we do see this ability for products to sort of serve the social need, we don't have to be too afraid just yet that, your new best friend's going to be Alexa.
Yeah, well, they're very rudimentary, really, compared to what they will be. Once they get to the point where they really begin to adapt to us and they kind of learn to interact with us in ways we like, do you think that's going to begin to hit those parts of our brain that humans are hitting?
For sure. And that's where this research is sort of the tip of the iceberg there, because as you said, the technology is getting better and better. And when you see some of these devices that are coming out, they actually seem very smart, very human-like. And we're just getting better and better. You hear talk of the uncanny valley and these sorts of examples. So if anything, our research is sort of a warning sign for those designers and engineers to say, hey, keep in mind that your humanized devices, your humanized theory, things like this, actually have another consequence in terms of how we interact with one another.
But still right now, what is it you think in dealing with people that kind of sparks us in ways that even a sophisticated machine may not be able to hit?
Sorry?
When you're dealing with humans, what is it about dealing with other people that you believe is going to be more satisfying ultimately than even sophisticated machines?
For sure. I think right now the difference is the responsive nature of how human interaction works. It's becoming better for technology. The technology is becoming better at recognizing emotions and customizing responses based on those very subtle cues. But what we forget is that, humans have a much longer history of interacting with one another. We're designed, we've evolved to pick up on those subtle cues, both emotional cues, visual cues, in a way that technological devices, at least right now, can't do.
Human interactions can sometimes be unpleasant, right? And with these machines, they could end up being to the point that they're always pleasant.
But that's also true. You know, and even we've all been in the situation where a computer's not working, so we give it a good smack, and hopefully it works. So sometimes these interactions with these items aren't positive. Right. And that remains to be explored as well. Is what happens, for example, when it comes to disclosing information, are we more willing to disclose personal information when the device we're using feels more human-like? It feels less like a machine. So that has some interesting implications for things like privacy and disclosure as well.
Yeah, machines with attitudes. I can imagine where we're going with this. It's they're going to get very good at manipulating us at some point, I believe. James Morey, assistant professor of marketing at DePaul University, right here on WILS. Thank you, James.
Thanks a lot.
Yep, thank you.